Hello and welcome to the podcast for Christ Community Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. This is a message that Tom Job pre-recorded for our online worship service, which aired on Sunday morning, February 14th, 2020.
Hey everyone. So I always want to have something practical that can really help change your life. So I'm going to give you something right now. If you're working on improving your memory, there are three things that you can eat that will actually help you. Salmon, I was reading an article about this. Salmon has omega-3s, and apparently that helps you remember stuff. There was a study that was done on women that said if you eat 1 to 3 cups of spinach or kale or that really dark green stuff, their brains were 11 years younger, which I have no idea what that means, but if that's what I had to do, I would probably prefer old brain myself. And also blueberries were found. There's something in blueberry extract that helped rats remember how to do a maze and make it to the end quicker than other rats. So the next time you go to like a corn maze, just have a blueberry muffin before that and it will help you. Another thing that you can do to help you remember stuff, especially like with names, is like name association, like something that name that you just learned associated with something in your mind, which I was thinking about that, and I did remember a book that I heard of. I think I might have been in the fifth grade, and it was called Under the Bleachers, and the author was somebody named Seymour Butts. And it's amazing that I still remember that. So it does kind of work. There was another study they did at the University of Missouri and the University of, Cambridge? I think that they found that one thing that you can do to help you remember things is literally absolutely nothing. Like if you try to learn something that you want to remember, and then you spend 7 to 15 minutes just sitting still, not on your phone, not talking to anyone, but quietly just sit as still as you can, it somehow sinks into your memory. So they told this control group just this big long story, and then they had half of the people go off by themselves and just sit for 7 minutes. And the other half of the people, they did an activity. An hour later, they came back and tried to encourage them to remember the story. And the people who had just immediately began to do another hour-long activity, they could only remember 7% of the details of the story. But people who just sat there for 7 minutes, they could remember 77% of all the details of the story. So that's really awesome. Exercise too is another good thing. Like if you're jogging or walking while you're trying to remember things, it helps you to remember them. And also repeating things over and over to yourself, which that's how, when we lived in Italy, I was just trying to, I'd go out jogging every day, and I had the letter to the Philippians, and I was just kind of going it over in my own mind. And I realized as I was jogging and kind of saying it to myself, wow, I could remember like a whole verse. And then I could remember the next day that verse and then the next verse and then going over it and over it every day. And before you know it, I had learned like the entire book of Philippians, which I could say it. I can still do it. You want to hear? Io rendo grazie al mio Dio di tutto il ricordo che ho di voi e sempre in ogni mia preghiera prego per voi tutti con gioia a motivo della vostra partecipazione al Vangelo dal primo giorno fino ad adesso. E ho questa fiducia che colui che ha cominciato in voi un'opera buona la porterà a compimento fino al giorno di Cristo Gesù. Ed è ben giusto. Well, I better stop. It goes on for like 45 minutes, but I can still do it. And another thing that they suggest is writing things down. Like if you hear a name, write it down 3 times and you'll remember it. So I guess this was last week. In just like in my time, you know, with Jesus in the morning, I was reading through the book of Deuteronomy. And the book of Deuteronomy is basically like, it's a big part of it is a bunch of rules and regulations about what you're supposed to do and not do, what you're supposed to wear and not wear, what you're supposed to eat and not eat, rules and regulations about food, about festivals, and about freedoms and human rights. And they were about... So one thing that it says in there a bunch of times is, you need to remember this. You need to give everything you can to remembering this. So exercise helps. Remember it when you walk around. Doing nothing helps you remember. Remember it when you sit down. Say it to yourself. Talk about it in the morning. Talk about it at night. Write it down. Write it down and tie it on your hand. Write these things down and tie them on your head. Most of those, a lot of those rules and regulations were already in the book of Leviticus. But it had taken them longer than they expected to get out of the desert, and they were going into a new country that was going to be in some ways hostile to them, and there were hostile people, and they were going into like some difficult situations. And the people who originally had these rules and regulations, they were all dead. Like, most of them were dead. And this was a new generation. And so it says, you're going to have to remember this stuff. I want you to give everything you've got to remembering this. It's going to be extremely important to you. For really two reasons. One of them is love, and the other one is war. Like, one thing that happens in the book of Deuteronomy, like the word remember, in the book of Leviticus, the word remember is used 2 times. In the book of Deuteronomy, it's used 16 times. Remember this, remember this. Why should I remember it? Well, one thing that is kind of a glimmer in the book of Leviticus, in the book of Deuteronomy, becomes an explosion. And it's the word love, because God said, because I love you. Because I love you with a love that is a never-ending, never-failing, never-giving-up-on-you love. The word love is used in the book of Leviticus 2 times. It's used in the book of Deuteronomy 29 times. And if somebody loves you like that and asks you to do something or asks you to not do something, it's because of love, and it's because... it's for your own good, because he loves you. When someone loves you that much, you should do what they say, or don't do what they tell you not to do. And one thing that the book of Deuteronomy says, which was a new thing, is that God said, all I really want from you is love. In chapter 6, it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one, and you should love the Lord with all of your heart and with all of your enthusiasm and with all of your strength and all of your power, and give all of your energy to loving God. And there's a thing that if you just love God, you may not have to memorize like all of this book, because when you love him, you just kind of instinctively do what he wants you to do and don't do what he doesn't want you to do. There's a place in the book of Romans chapter 13 where Paul says, have no outstanding debt to anyone except the continuing debt to love everyone. And then he said, because if there's any commandment, and he starts to quote the Ten Commandments, and he said, they're all fulfilled in this: love your neighbor as you love yourself. So love is the fulfillment of the law. Like, I remember when I first accepted Jesus when I was 20 and I started to go to church, and I would hear people say in church, God is love, but he is also holy. And it kind of left me with the impression that like love and holiness were the opposite of each other. And also that if you just said God is love without adding that part that says, but he is also holy, you were probably like one of those libs or something like that. But when Paul said, So the greatest expression of the holiness of God is the Ten Commandments. And Paul said, but you'll do the Ten Commandments if you love people. So if holiness is expressed in the Ten Commandments are fulfilled in love. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. Holiness and love aren't the opposite of each other. They're the same thing. And if you love God, like, you will do what he wants you to do. Love is a reason to write these things down and commit your heart to learning them and to knowing them, because he loves you and because you love him. But another reason is also war, because they were going into a new, like, territory where they were going to be in conflict with people that were hostile to them. And the only way they would win is if God was on their side. So if you really need somebody on your side, if you need God on your side, you do well to do what he tells you to do. So anyway, the week before this, I had been reading like in 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and I got to 2 John, which 2 John, it's not really like a letter. It's more kind of like a text. It's something longer than a tweet, but it's not as long as a blog, but it's really just one chapter. But there's a verse in 2 John, in verse 9, that it says, if anybody doesn't continue in the teachings of Jesus, that person does not have God. And I thought, wow. And then I thought about what I had been reading in Deuteronomy. And I thought, what if people who believed in Jesus, or everybody who said they believed in Jesus, treated the words of Jesus the way Moses said we were supposed to treat the words of what God said through Moses? Like, give your whole heart to remembering them. Talk about them when you get up. Talk about them when you go to bed. Say them over and over to yourself. Write them down. What if everybody, like, tied them on your hand, tied them on your head? I can't forget the words and teachings of Jesus. They're the most important words to me. You know, so what I did was I thought, well, okay, I just want to go kind of quickly over, like, some of the teachings of Jesus. So I got on my iPad and I kind of suspended my reading in 2 John. And I went to the Gospel of Luke. And there's a thing where you can click a thing and it makes all the words of Jesus read. So I'm just kind of skimming through Luke, but I was going to stop on the words of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus. And the teachings of Jesus in Luke, they're amazing. One of the most intriguing parts is the parts that we don't know about. Like, Jesus taught through private tutoring. There was a conversation that he had with Zacchaeus, but we don't know what he told him, but it changed his life. There was a conversation that he had with a woman named Mary. There was a conversation that he had in a private encounter with the apostle, with Peter, his follower Peter, after Jesus had risen from the dead. But we don't know what they talked about, and it just seems so interesting to me to know. One day we will know. It says in the Gospel of Luke that Jesus taught in villages and towns. He taught in synagogues, and he taught in the temple. He lectured. But we don't really know, like, what all of those lectures were about. One of the, some people say the greatest speech that Abraham Lincoln ever gave was in Bloomington, Indiana, in 1848. I think that's when it was. But there were 20 journalists there, and they were going to record all of his words, but his speech was so amazing that they were just spellbound and nobody wrote down anything and nobody knows what he said. But when you go through the Gospel of Luke and you find the teachings of Jesus, and in some places they're compacted and condensed, like when you get to Luke chapter 6, and I thought about this, like, I thought, what if everybody who knew and loved Jesus, or who said they loved Jesus, took these words, said them to themselves with all of their heart and with all of their energy, committed themselves to learning them and to writing them down, and to just memorizing them. And I think about, like, going through the time of the coronavirus. What if everybody who believed in Jesus, or even said they believed in Jesus, were committed to learning and knowing and repeating the words of Jesus and living them and doing them? And there's a place in chapter 6 where he says, love your enemies, like people who don't like you, love them. Do good to people who misuse you. Only say good things. Bless. The word bless is a word that means say good things. Only say good things about people who insult you. When people insult you, don't judge them. Don't criticize them. What if everybody had done that? Who believed in Jesus, committed to the words of Jesus during the time of the coronavirus, and only said good things about people who might even be saying bad things about you. We would be in a completely different place. There's a place in Matthew chapter 6 where Jesus said, don't call anybody a name. How much name calling has been going on? And he said, don't call anybody a name, because he said, if you call someone like an idiot, it's really the word, it's the word moros, it's where we get the word moron. If you call somebody a moron, you're kind of qualified to like be thrown into hell. And you're like, what? Are you saying that I would be thrown into hell if I call somebody a moron? No, I don't think that's what Jesus is saying. But he is saying that if you're a person who calls people a name a lot, you may not really understand the message of Jesus at all. Because for me to believe in the good news of Jesus, one thing that I would have to believe is that the reason Jesus died for me is that I am the biggest moron that I have ever met. And I would never call anybody else that, because I've been the biggest one. And if I do have a propensity to call people names, it may be that I've never really understood the basic things of the message of Jesus. But I do think, what if people who knew and loved Jesus, or people who said they do, just committed themselves to the words and teachings of Jesus, to know them, to love them, to repeat them, to write them down, to put them like even on their head, I think we would be in a completely different place. But why should I do that? Why should I commit myself to the words and teachings of Jesus? For the same two reasons that God's people in the desert were supposed to commit themselves to the words of Moses. Because of love and because of war. Like, I'm supposed to commit myself to the teachings and the words of Jesus because of love. Because I love him. If you believe in Jesus, you love him, not his memory and not his ideals, but you believe that Jesus is love, and you believe that he's alive, and you love him. And Moses said in Deuteronomy, don't commit murder. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, don't be angry with anyone. Why? Because of love. Because Jesus is love, and because he loves the person that I'm angry with, and he loves me, and he knows that anger isn't good for me. And I love him, and I believe he's alive, and I don't want to permit myself to have any thought that he is not invited into and that he is not pleased with, because I love him. Deuteronomy says, don't commit adultery. Jesus said, don't even look or think about people in a sexual way. Why is that? Because he's love, because Jesus is love, and because I love him. And if I were to think about or look at someone in a way like that, Jesus loves that person, and he doesn't want that person to be disrespected, used, or objectified by me, and he knows it isn't good for me. And also, because I believe he's alive, I love him, and I don't want to have any thought in my heart that he is not pleased with or invited into. Because of love. Because Jesus is love. Jesus is God, and God is love, and Jesus is love, and I love him. And I want to commit everything I've got to his words, to knowing them, to loving them, to living them. So the two reasons that I should be devoting myself to the words of Jesus, one is love, but the other is war. Like, we're in a time of conflict. We're in a time, we always are. But we're in a time of spiritual conflict with the devil and his minions. And I personally feel that during the time of the coronavirus, for them, every game has been a home game. I mean, when you think about it, like when you look at the news, I mean, so much of the news, it's not really broadcasting the news like what happened, but it's projecting dread. Like when they talk about the news, will the new variants of the coronavirus, will all of our vaccinations be ineffective and will it nullify all the progress we've made up to that point? That's not news, you're just scaring me. You know, and then, and also just, it's been a time of judgment, like of people judging and criticizing each other, what you do or don't do, what you wear or don't wear, where, what you eat, where you eat and don't eat. Like even within like the churches, like if churches have their worship service inside and people might think, are they doing that because they're fearless or are they doing it because they're thoughtless? And if like another church had their church outside, someone might think, are they doing that because they cared or are they doing that because they're scared? And I feel, you know, and then, and when you think about like, so Satan, like the devil, like he wants everybody to be scared. He wants them to be suspicious of each other. And then you think about like things that you might need today. Oh my goodness, I can't find toilet paper. Oh my goodness, I can't find flour. Did you know that it's hard to find shredded coconut in the grocery stores? It is. And then people think, what if they don't have the vaccine for me? What if I get my first shot and I can't get my second shot? And everybody fighting for themselves. And it's like the devil, I mean, all he wants us to be is scared, suspicious, and selfish. And what's the answer to that? Like, how can I fight that battle? It's the words of Jesus. When the devil tried to confront Jesus, he defeated him with words that he had memorized from the book of Deuteronomy. Like, what if that was your only defense against the devil were verses that you had memorized from the book of Deuteronomy? But the weapons that I use in this battle are the words of Jesus, like the words of Jesus that I've put into my heart. And when I think about like being scared about the future, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, give no thought, don't think about tomorrow. Give no thought for tomorrow. Only think about today. Think about tomorrow when you call tomorrow today. God will only give you the strength for this day. Stay in today. And when I think about like judging other people and the way they're living the coronavirus, in Luke chapter 6, verse 37, don't judge anyone. Just don't do it. Don't criticize anyone. Just, you know what I mean? Like, don't, just stop. Stop doing that. And when I think about, like, what about things that, like, I might need and I'm worried that I'm not going to be able to find them when I go to the grocery store, when I go to the doctor's office. And Luke chapter 11, like verse 13 says, you have a dad now. Like God has become your dad. Go to your dad and ask him. He'll give you what you need. Like if you're a dad, some of you are dads. You know what you do when your kids want something. Like if they ask you for a fish, are you going to give them a scorpion? Jesus said, I mean, who does that kind of thing? If your kids ask you for an egg, you're not going to give them a rock and just like, here, scramble these rocks. I mean, nobody does that. He knows that. You know how to give good gifts to your kids. Your dad knows how to give good gifts to you. So just think about those and memorize all of those because you're in this conflict. So you might think, that is a lot of stuff. That's a lot of verses and a lot of numbers and a lot of stuff to memorize. Are there any shortcuts? I want to give you one right now. So one thing that I've been doing and talking to you guys about week by week are things that I'm learning from Peter and the letters that he wrote to prepare my heart for the end of the coronavirus. And there's something that Peter says in chapter 1 of his first letter, I think it's verse 13, where he says, you need to keep yourself mentally alert. That is not really what he says. What he said was, you need to gird. This is a military image. You need to gird the loins of your mind. Okay? So if you think about a soldier, and back in those days, all soldiers were like, you know, dudes. Like, so on a soldier, their loins was the place that, if that soldier was an athlete, it would be the place that they would need like extra support, like extra athletic support, as in like an athletic supporter. Okay, that's really what he said. So he's like saying, if your mind was your loins, snug up the situation, put your big boy pants on. In other words, tighten it down because you're in a battle. So for me, that kind of translates into there are certain kinds of thinking I cannot allow myself to do because I'm in a battle. And when I think about like the future, or I think about judging other people and being suspicious of them, and I think about worrying about things that I may or may not need today and I may or may not find today, and all of it making me scared and suspicious and selfish, I can't afford to do that. I can't do that during this time of the coronavirus because we're in a battle. So I need to snug up my thinking. And so this is what I adopted at the beginning of it, and I've kept it all the way through. And if I struggle in any way, it's because I've forgotten one of these things, and it all comes from the teachings of Jesus. But this is what I tell myself. Today only, I am only thinking about today. I am not going to think about next week. I'm not going to think about next month. I'm not going to think about months down the road. Only today. This is the only day I'm thinking about. And all of my anxiety just goes down. Number two, no criticism. I am not going to criticize anyone. I am not going to judge anyone. I am firing myself from that job. I do it because of my own insecurities. I kind of criticize other people to make myself feel better about myself. It doesn't work. It just makes it worse. I'm not doing it. Today only. No criticism. And if I have a concern about something or a worry about will I find this or will I find that or will we have this or will we have that, I try to turn a care into a prayer in 20 seconds. Today only. No criticism. Cares to prayers. Tighten it up. I am in a battle, and I cannot afford to allow myself to think in those ways. You know, recently, I've met a young man from Africa, and he hasn't been in the United States very long. He doesn't really know a lot of English. But we were just talking about his life. And he spent 24 of his 26 years in a refugee camp because he was taken out of a civil war in another country when he was a baby. He met a young girl there when he was young, 20, and they got married, had a baby. A few years later, they had another baby, and the baby died, and his wife died. He was accepted into a program to come to the United States in 2014, and he got here 3 months ago. Doesn't really know anyone. He loves Jesus. And I told him, you've had a lot of sadness in your life. And he looked at me with surprise, almost as if he had never really heard that. And almost as if he was telling me, I can't allow myself to think in that way very much. There are ways that I cannot allow myself to think because of the battle that we're in. We need to snug it up.
All right, let's sing out. Here we go.
I want to pour out my heart, but I want to risk it all. No holding back from the start. I'm not afraid to fall. You fill my life with love, the way you care for me. So I set my heart above and give you everything. I want to love you, Lord. I want to feel it. I want to say the words, live it and breathe it. I want to love you, Lord. I want to feel it. I want to say my weary heart. You never stop watching me. You promise we'll never part. I want to love you, Lord. I want to feel it. I want to say the words, live it and breathe it. I want to love you, Lord. I want to feel it. I want say the words, live it and breathe it. I wanna love those you seek, to see them the way you do. I wanna care for the weak, to go to the world like you. Help me give my life away, what you gave all for me. You'll give me the love to say, I would do it.